The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Ministries.
The children of Israel always got in trouble when it was easy street. There was no battles, no wars. But notice what God did as they went into the wilderness. He led them around the enemy, away from the enemy, kept them away from the warring tribes until they had learned warfare. So, yes, we do need challenges, but God will give us opportunity to grow before those challenges come our way, because He's promised us He wouldn't give us something that there wouldn't be a way of escape. Every trial, every problem has an answer, has a key. And so that's my confidence, is that whatever I face, I'm ready to face it, or God wouldn't allow it to come into my life.
We've all been in situations in our lives where we've been asked to do hard things by God. Whether it's repairing broken relationships or staying in a job we don't like, sometimes it's doing something and sometimes it's doing nothing. Regardless, sometimes God asks us to do hard things. Are you in a place right now where you're being asked to do a hard thing with God? Well, then stay tuned, because coming up next on Sought Out Radio, we discuss the hard things from God. That's next, right here on Sought Out Radio. And we welcome you back to Sought Out Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote, and I'm joined once again by Sought Out Ministry leader Herb Marks and our special guest, George Watkins, a Sought Out Ministry advisor. Last week when we left you on Sought Out Radio, we were discussing the hard things and whether or not God allows them to happen in our lives. Whether it's losing a job or having broken relationships, what are the purposes in our lives to the hard things? Why do they happen, and what are we supposed to do about them when we encounter these difficulties? Are they attacks by the enemy, or are they just the type of things that God allows in the life of every person to help us grow? Well, we pick up that discussion with part two of when God asks us to do the hard things.
I found that in the hard things He's asked us to do, that God has asked us to do, it's out of relationship. He's loving to show us how strong He is, how easy it was for Him. If we're to be people who get excited how big our Daddy is, the only way we find out really how big He is when He shows us how big He is. And so these things that are bigger than us, and He asks us to step into it, He's certainly not asking us to go it by ourselves. It's kind of like that incredible story of the elephant that went across the bridge, and the bridge started shaking. But it isn't so much that the bridge got shook or the elephant was big. It was that little mouse on the back. And the mouse said, "Hey, didn't we shake that bridge?" You know,
yeah.
It's just that, because God, you know, it's piece of cake for Him. It's just that it's big for us. And He says, "Come on, I'll carry you across." And then we get impressed, and then we get more impressed. Well, it's just that God is into doing big things. And as sons and daughters, He really wants our eyes to be filled with bigger things than what we settle with. I think part of the issue is we settle so short, and He wants to up our confidence in Him. And but also, to begin to open up to us the big picture. Mm-hmm. We look at the fact that Abraham, his descendants are going to be like the sands of the sea, stars of the sky. I tell you what, the things that God has asked my wife and I to believe Him for were always bigger than what, at least for me, my wife has a real gift of faith. But I know I'm the one that needs to be stretched to even go bigger, because I would have settled sometimes. And I'm so glad, because He's a big God. Life is so much more adventurous. Come on, people. Walking with the Lord is no small thing, and He sees the bigger picture. Let's just trust Him in it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about bad things versus the hard things? Are they the same?
Oh, you're stirring the pot, Mark.
I am. Do you think they're the same thing?
Let me add just a thought here. I'm hearing the word leveling the playing field. Now we know what that means. But here, what if you could only come to God if you had money? What if you could only come to God if you were a good singer? What if you could only come to God if you were good looking? That's relevant, I know. So God levels the playing field, and we have to come to God by faith. So the Christian world can build this whole structure where the singers, the moneyed people, they can all be more prominent in the Christian activities. But really, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So that levels the playing field. The rich guy has to come the same way that the poor guy does. To me, that's the secret of this conversation, is that God's asking us to do all of us to do the same thing. It's hard not to trust in ourselves. It's easy to say, well, I can work hard and be, you know, you hear the term all the time, work your way to heaven, do good deeds, you'll go there, you know, please God. Well, the hard thing in some cases, in most cases, just believing that Jesus forgives me and I am totally cleansed and that the Father loves me.
You know, that's a great word. And, you know, we were talking about that in our pre-production meeting, George, and we discussed Abraham in the outset of this conversation because, of course, Abraham's the one that had to walk off his map, as Herb pointed out. He had an established understanding of what was going to happen and what life looked like, and God broke the paradigm of his mind, the box that he had, and God said, go. And he had to go not knowing where he was going. But it says that Abraham, the word says in Romans 4, that Abraham was justified by his belief, even though he had more to boast than any other man. Of course, not before God, but he had more to boast than any other man because of his faithfulness to God. But it wasn't enough before God by itself, right? But what made him truly a champion in our faith was that he believed, and that was counted to him as righteousness.
I think that God so longs for interaction with his kids. I know that's a fact, because he relishes in the interaction that he has with his kids, no doubt. But he's taking us to higher places and introducing us to the fact that he's more than capable of fulfilling the promises that he gave to us. And I love what Abraham, what he went through. It's recorded here in Romans 4, verse 18 and 19. Well, in verse 18, against all hope, the fact is that in 19, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. And yet, in verse 20, he didn't waver through unbelief, even though he faced the fact that he was living in a body that just was breaking down with age. And yet it says he didn't waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. And he was strengthened in his faith, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. And it was credited to him as righteousness. Wow. That's powerful. And God enabled them, fulfilled the promise. So I think about the interaction that God so longs to have with us, and to show us that he's strong to do it as he's promises. So I'm asking, you know, the listening audience, what are the promises that God has given you? It's because he longs for interaction with you and to show you that he's powerful. Does he ask us to do hard things? Well, they are hard, but not out of reach, because he won't ask us to do things we cannot do without him. He really wants to show us that he can do this for us.
George, is God asking us to do hard things so he can show up in our life? Because we have a tendency to, hey, it's the easy street when things are going good and we don't need God as much?
There is a section, place, or something in the human makeup that tends to drift when it gets into easy street, not only in the spiritual things, but in the natural things. There's the chance of the children of very successful people doing great things is really low, because they've had an easy life. The father may have spoiled them and so forth. No challenges. So they don't have good work ethics. Spiritually, the children of Israel always got in trouble when it was easy street. There was no battles, no wars. But notice what God did as they went into the wilderness. He led them around the enemy, away from the enemy, kept them away from the warring tribes until they had learned warfare. So, yes, we do need challenges, but God will give us opportunity to grow before those challenges come our way, because he's promised us he wouldn't give us something that there wouldn't be a way of escape. Every trial, every problem has an answer, has a key. And so that's my confidence, is that whatever I face, I'm ready to face it, or God wouldn't allow it to come into my life.
Huh.
Yeah, because that doesn't...
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. Because that doesn't guarantee that everything is always going to turn out the way we want either.
Well, I think seldom do things really turn out the way that we want, because oftentimes what we want falls so far below the bar of the hopes and the desires that God sees for our lives and longs for us to step into. He's inviting us to new levels and to new altitudes in him, because the higher you go, the broader your ability to see is. And he's wanting to show us the horizons. And so often we're settling for just a little piece of chicken scratch here on the earth, you know, just what, you know, within 5 feet. And I don't mean to be stepping on anybody's toes at all, because I know that some folks are going through some hard times. And yet if we just trust God in all of this, in spite of what screams at us in our circumstances, because our circumstances, that too will pass. They certainly will. And so if you would look up just a little bit higher, Romans chapter 5, and this is a chapter that was given to me in my early days of walking with the Lord. And verse 3 is always, and I memorized this, and not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. And then it says, because God pours out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that he's given to us. He's so longing for interaction and relationship and closeness with us. He increases our hope, and he pours out love into the place that so longs for love in our hearts by the precious Holy Ghost. Folks, this is powerful. And does he ask us to do hard things so he can show us that he's strong? But also, as George said, as he develops the inner character of who we are as people, because truly that's where the life flows.
You know, one other thing that you said that I really wanted to touch on, you said rarely God gives us what we want. But I think there's a disclaimer there, Herb, and that is unless it's partnered in faith. Because I think about the woman with the issue of the blood and how she wanted so desperately to be healed. And she had gone and sought healing from every way of life that she could possibly go to try to get healed of that issue. And it was that issue partnered with faith in God to do it that actually brought around the deliverance of what it was that she needed. She faced a difficult thing. She faced a hard thing. And she persevered and she kept asking and kept asking and kept asking. Wow, how hard is it for us to keep asking even prayer for something that's hard in our life, like praying for someone that has...
Well, Mark, I want to catch you in your comment because I think what you're saying is really a good balance to what I was saying. And I do appreciate what you shared. And I say yes and amen to that. When people are sick, when people are suffering, I mean, I desire for people who are sick to be healed. I want that for them. And I think that that wanting is appropriate. With the lady that you mentioned, the issue of blood, you know, there was a long time reaching for her healing. There was also a little bit of a delay for her to finally get what she asked for. But in the place where she received it, I can't help but to wonder if she also got a hold of a little bit more than what she bargained for, because when she touched the edge of his garment, which had a representation of authority in that culture, I think she came away not only with her healing, but with discovering a little bit more that Jesus is indeed who he says he is. He's all power. And he loves us. Yeah. So I'm with you.
I know. We've got to keep coming back to that, I think.
What?
You know, just that he loves us.
Yes.
That is a key. There's so much
yes.
life and truth in that.
Yes.
We
yes.
do not serve us. An angry ogre. You know, no. upset, judgmental God. What we serve is a God who loves us and wants the best for us. Right.
Yeah,
and
love is not fragile either. And it's a type of love that has been watered down in our experiences. When we get a look at the power because of his love for us, we find that also Jesus rises up as mighty warrior on our behalf, as well as being the one who leads us through the hard times to show us that we can have confidence in his strength because he is mighty. But his plan for our lives, I think, is far greater than we can imagine because our imaginations have been thwarted. And he's wanting to bring us out into the opening of greater expectations because of his love for us.
Let me just put a tag on that thought out of Romans 5 from the Amplified, this talking about endurance in verse 4, maturity of character, approved faith and tried integrity. And it talks about the habit of joyful, confident hope of eternal salvation. But verse 5 says, such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out on our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. While we were yet in weakness, powerless to help ourselves, at the fitting time Christ died in behalf of the ungodly. So that's the key to this hard thing that we've been asked, that God has made a provision through Christ Jesus. Hope, it says there, such hope never disappoints when it's in Jesus. When we are depending on the Lord and trusting Christ. I just wanted to add that as a tag before
that we That is go really good. Thing. That is so, so good, George. What a hope we have.
Mm-hmm.
What a hope we have.
Yeah, there's another version of this that I really love. It's in the Passion Translation. It says that there's more to come. We continue to shout out praises even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how the patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite to the contrary, We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours out into our lives through the Holy Spirit. I love that version of Romans 5 because it really talks about the heart of God pouring out His. It just emphasizes the heart that you wanted to bring, George, which is the balance of not being looking at God through that he wants us to suffer, that He's pressing us down and He's keeping us in a hard place, and He's like, I'll show them and I'll get them to relent. I love this alert expectancy and this His generosity to pour out the goodness in our life. That is the God we serve.
Yes, amen.
Yes, agreed. So this is good, guys. We really want to encourage our listening audience that even in hard times, God guides, not only guides, but He guides with passion and passionate pursuit because He loves us.
You know, brothers, as we're speaking, I'm seeing a picture in my spirit. And for those who aren't familiar with that statement, we have a screen in our spirit we call our mind. We see with our thinking. But I see a man in his car right now that has been listening to this. And the thought of suicide has been tormenting you for several weeks because of the struggle and the things you've been going through. But as you've been listening to us discuss about the love of God and the hope in God, you felt something come into your car, and that was the Spirit of God. I want you to know that. And as you're there right now listening to me, there's something unusual happening. You're suddenly feeling hope return where you have gone through a dark place, haven't been able to see your way out of this thing. Something marvelous has happened, and I want you to know it's the beginning of the turnaround for that situation. And you're going to see a surprising change before the end of this two-day period. You're going to see a surprising turnaround. I want you to believe this as a word from God, and as you take it into your heart now and believe it, you watch God turn your situation around.
As George shared what he was seeing, I'm experiencing the way that the Holy Spirit works with me in another way, and it's a sensing that I carry. It's a knowing in your knower. With this word that I have, and it's to encourage a dad. And it came to me pretty precise in some ways, so I've written it down, actually. And I think I'm understanding that it's a father of two little children, and your wife has left. And I think that you may have a three-year-old. I for sure know it's a five-year-old. But either you got a 2 or 3 year old as well. You got two kids, and just in the last few days, you've even been talking to your mother-in-law, and your mother-in-law is really brokenhearted over the fact that her daughter, your wife, has left, and you've got the kids, and you may have come from the central part of the country, maybe even around the area of Milwaukee. Wisconsin, and the fact is that you've come from the central part of the country back, or over here to the western side, and you grew up in a Christian home with your folks. It's time for you, sir, to come back to your upbringing, because as you come back to what you know is right, and fully giving your heart back. Not just partially, but fully. Even in the ways that you've handled finances, that you give all of your life now. It's time to let God have all of you. And not just part of you, all of you. And watch what He will do in time. Be patient in God. Find a church for you to go to, get surrounded with people who are going hard after the Lord, who are trusting Him in things. And as this has been a question, does God ask us to do hard things? Your set of circumstances isn't something that God brought to you. God didn't bring to you the breaking up of your family. He didn't do it. He didn't cause it. We have a devil that hates families. But in the middle of the hard times, God will show you that and that He's got answers. So we know that God didn't cause the breaking of your family, but most certainly He is present to help you in the middle of this hard time.
Friends, we hope you enjoyed this second installment of When God Asks Us to Do Hard Things, and that keeping in mind that God always sees the big picture, He always knows what He's asking us to do and why. Always pray with expectancy in that we ask not why this is happening, but we ask, what is it for? Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today. For Herb Marks and our special guest, George Watkins, I'm Mark Grote. Be sure to join us again here next week, right here on Sought Out Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Radio, you can do that at isoughtout.com.